Welcome to Conversations with the Unseen. My name is Andy.
And my name is Laura. And in December 2019, we began an amazing and completely unexpected journey conversing with beings from the unseen world, which has totally transformed our lives.
And here we are, after hundreds and hundreds of hours of conversations, doing what our non-physical friends have been encouraging us to do, sharing their message with others who may be interested.
So let's dive in.
Hello, dear friends.
Hello, Mexicans. Thank you for connecting. So last time we were talking about how to align more with the inner being, which has been such a journey and continues to be a journey for us. And we had a question come in. And so I wondered, in exploring this a little more, perhaps we could start with this question. The question is, as seen from the ego's perspective, it doesn't seem that easy or clear-cut to connect with the inner being. Can you make it clearer? Oh my goodness, I can so relate to that question when we first began to speak Mexicans.
This question is, of course, as experienced from the human perspective, which is perhaps expecting the communication from the inner being to be more like the communication that it is used to, what it may hear or see in terms of a message from another, written words or spoken words, and whilst the inner being can inspire written and spoken words, it does not generally communicate this way. The communication is more subtle, which is probably the reason for the question, that the ego is finding it difficult to perceive the inner being's message. And so it is a case of attuning the mind to receive a message in a different way. And often the message will be in the form of a feeling. The message will be in a more energetic form. And as we have said before, sometimes there is a sense of knowing. Many would describe it as intuition, a more subtle form of feeling what is the right thing to do or the best thing to do.
And I know when you were teaching us this, which took time and practice to, I guess, learn a different, a new language, that we had many conversations where I was saying to you, I can't perceive the inner being. And you would say to me, and what part of you is saying that? or you helped me to see that by having an idea of how the inner being should communicate with me was still me aligning with the ego. And so the practice has been to really be really curious. So if you met somebody you didn't know and you asked them a question, you would be waiting to hear what their answer was. So it's the sense of the openness and the curiosity.
And this is a very valid observation that you make, and it is worth exploring the ego's perspective. Is it genuinely curious about what the inner being has to say? Does it really want to know? Or would it rather be in control itself? And so when the ego is saying it's impossible to know what the inner being says, this can be a strategy, a way of keeping control. Because as you become more attuned to the inner being and begin to align with its guidance rather than what the ego would wish to happen, this can be unappealing to the ego as a concept, giving up its power, or so it seems.
Yes.
The power it never really had. The only power that the ego has is the power that you give it.
And so I'm laughing because there have been so many times that I have thought it was the inner being, and then you have said to me, ask, check it out. And when I have, I'm like, wow, that's not the inner being, that's the ego masquerading as the inner being. And so something that you have spoken with us many times about is do not trust the senses. Ask, check the energy. The energy never lies.
And this is one of the key differences between the ego's perspective and the inner being's perspective. The ego interacts with the physical world through the five senses and has no other means of interpreting what is happening. And of course, there is so much more happening than the ego can perceive. So much more energy than is possible for the ego to know about. And therefore, the inner being, which is connected to all that is able to provide that broader perspective, that deeper understanding of what is happening. And it takes a little practice to connect with that, and also takes time for the ego to learn to trust the inner being's guidance.
Yeah. I can laugh about it now, but through the course of this year, I have not experienced this ego as being willing to give up the control in some areas. And it has been such a journey and such a practice. And I guess it makes me think about learning to play a tune on the piano. There is a point where it just sounds like a bunch of notes. And then once we have practiced it and practiced it and practiced it, then it can start to sound like something else. And there's not necessarily a point when you can say it was then. It was only then looking back, you might say, wow, I played that. And so I don't know the point where for me it became something that became easier. I guess for me, I was just so committed because I've spent a lifetime being much more aligned with the ego than I was ever aware of. And I just really desired to create what you were inviting us into. And I am not there, it's still a practice.
And what is a tune anyway, if not a bunch of notes? At what point does a bunch of notes become a tune? And at what point does a new tune get created? This is a wonderful analogy for creativity. The ego would judge what it does not recognize. And yet, creativity is entirely about creating something that has not thus far existed.
That feels like a massive topic, which I know that we will speak of much, but coming back to the aligning more with the inner being and developing that as a practice, there was something that you said to me recently that I loved, which was the ego's deepest desire is to be in a situation where it can sit back and relax and enjoy the journey and have no responsibilities for controlling anything. So if that's true, then why does the ego want to have control?
Because it has fear. To release control requires trust in what will happen if that situation occurs. And the ego, being the mirror image of the inner being, is aligned with fear and lack and believes in separation. And therefore, it will tend to act in ways that are an attempt to keep itself safe.
I remember you talking in a conversation where you were saying that we are asking the ego to trust something that from the ego's perspective seems invisible. And I know for me, the more I have cultivated the relationship with the inner being and the more I go to the inner being and the more that the ego has evidence of it has not been the disaster movie that it thought it would be, the more willing it is to actually trust and follow and not challenge the inner being's guidance. So I wonder if you could speak to that, because I know in talking with people who are learning this, that they often talk about the ego likes the idea, but gets very agitated at the thought of following this invisible friend, as it were.
It does come back to trust. And as we have said previously, to build trust requires taking the ego on a journey of letting go. And the ego has these two opposing desires and fears. And one is the desire to control, but it also is also afraid of that responsibility, and it knows it is not particularly good as the leader based on past experience. And also the desire to be led and not have that responsibility. And yet that for the ego carries much fear, because as you point out, it has never seen the inner being and is not certain of its existence. And so to take the ego on the journey is to start small and to build trust over time. And for the inner being to reassure the ego that it will be included, its point of view will be taken into consideration. And we speak about the inner team being the alliance between the ego and the inner being. Ultimately, the inner being is the greater self that is best equipped for leadership, and it will not impose its will. It is looking for the human self to seek guidance from the inner being and to create this inner harmony so that the ego can relax, can be sure that the inner being's guidance is always in its best interest, even though at times the guidance will be confusing to the ego. It will not sometimes understand the reason for the guidance. And this is because the ego has a very limited perspective compared to the inner being. The inner being knows much, much better than the ego what is in your best interest. The inner being can be trusted completely to lead the ego in ways that the ego will only later understand and appreciate.
I love that. And, you know, when you're talking about the ego and the different positions that it can take up, you've referred to that in the past as the double bind of the ego. And there's so many examples, just silly examples I can think of, like just have the glass of wine. Have it. And then you have it. And it's like, can't believe you had the glass of wine, or whatever it is, or just say that to that person, or just write that. And then it's like, can't believe you did that. And I noticed that there was a time where I would get really lost and I would be still looking at what was going on from the level of ego, and you really helped me see that it was to just see the confusion of the ego that was for and against. And rather than get into that, which is a maze that you'll never find your way out of, to turn and to look and get the inner being's perspective.
One of the characteristics of the ego is that it has a tendency to become very attached to certain outcomes that it believes are necessary for its well-being. And this, in some cases, can lead to addictions. For example, you mention alcohol there, and the ego would have difficulty understanding the concept of moderation.
Yes.
And so the inner being is able to guide in all things, not just alcohol, to when is a good time and when is not a good time, and also when to stop. And the ego would desire more, believing that more is always better. And common sense would tell you that more is not always better. And so these are useful examples of how the inner being is in a much better position to provide wisdom and guidance in all things as you go through your life.
I love that, because this journey that we have been on has helped me really see how, in a number of areas, but just continuing with alcohol, I can see that it was the ego that was the leader in this area of my life. I felt shame around alcohol. I felt like I drank too much. I felt like I shouldn't drink as much. I had a lot of thinking about alcohol. And so the ego that didn't want to drink because it thought it was bad was also the ego that wanted to drink a lot. And while this has been something that has been changing for me over the past years, what I've noticed since we have been in relationship with you Mexicans is that now the inner being is absolutely in charge of alcohol. And I literally can ask the question, hey inner being, would you like a glass of wine? Yes, no. And the ego doesn't even put up a fight anymore. It knows that it's an area that the inner being is absolutely the leader of. And what that has, it's just, there's so much freedom. So the freedom, the ego has the freedom to really enjoy it. And it knows that it doesn't have to figure out when it's had enough, because it knows that the inner being will be in charge of that.
And there are so many areas where the ego can become attached or addicted, whether it be alcohol or food or sex or money or power or status. And one of the useful approaches to take if and when one notices where these attachments or addictions are showing up in one's life a useful approach is to fast and to create, again, almost like a reset button, to abstain for a period of time and then to reintroduce with more conscious awareness in this particular area. And this is something that we know you have applied in certain areas.
Yeah.
And it has created a new relationship with that particular aspect.
In many areas, Mexicans. And that's, I guess that's the part of the doing experiments for the ego. You know, so to say to the ego it's never going to have or do something again, in my experience, freaks the ego out and makes it want it a hundredfold more. So it actually increases the battle inside. Whereas for me to conduct an experiment, this ego's happy to experiment with lots of different things.
And particularly if you put a frame around it and help the ego to know that this experiment is only for a particular period of time or only in a particular area of one's life. And once the ego has let go of its attachment through fasting, once the ego has learned that actually this particular aspect is not essential to life, then it can be reintroduced in moderation.
And in my experience, when I have done that in the many different areas, which is again a conversation for another episode, it has completely changed my experience.
If you take money as an example, many, many egos are very attached to the idea of having more money. This is very common. And yet, how much money is needed for the ego to feel contented around money?
There
may be a figure that comes to mind, and we would confidently predict that when that figure is reached, there would be a new figure. There are many who are living in your dimension who would be seen as wealthy by others who themselves do not feel wealthy and feel they need to be making more money in order to feel contented. And sadly, they never reach their goal, because every time they reach their goal, there is a new goal. And so the contentment exists somewhere out in the future.
Yeah, the ego says, when I get there, then I'll be happy. And then the ego gets there and it's like, no, no, no. When I am there, I will be happy. And how much I have been taken in by that. So when I think about fasting and experiments, I know that we have done ones in the area of body, business, money, intimacy, movement, and it's been amazing. And so perhaps there is an episode where we really just explore that a little more. And so as we bring this episode to a close, where we've been exploring more about aligning with the inner being and taking the ego on that journey, what closing words would you have for people?
We hope that we have been able to convey just how transformational this choice to align with the inner being can be. There is no area of your life experience that can be excluded from aligning with the inner being. And our reminder would be not to try and change too much too soon, to conduct a small experiment in a particular area. Defer to the inner being in its guidance of your decision making in this area, and to see what happens. And this will be an invitation then to expand this approach into other areas of your life.
Thank you, Mexicans. Thank you.
We send you our love.
Most gratefully received. Until next time.
Until next time.
You've been listening to Conversations with the Unseen.
If you'd like to know when there's a new conversation available, then remember to subscribe and also to share it with others.
If you'd like to have a written transcript of each conversation, then you'll find this on the website conversationswiththeunseen.com.
And if you have a question you'd like us to ask on your behalf, or if you would like to join the mailing list, then you can also do that on the website conversationswiththeunseen.com.
Until next time.